And the Lord said, anoint him, arise, anoint him, for this is he. This is he. This is the one that I have provided and I have picked out as my next king. This is the one. And but they had ignored him. And that's what we have to recognize when you start talking about turning a zero into a hero. We make the mistake, and if you're going to do that, you can't be ignoring people, because God don't pick people like we pick them. What we find out is, according to verse 7, God tells us how he picked people according to the latter part of it. He says, man looketh on the outer appearance. Amen. But God looks at the heart. Amen. God looks at the heart. Man looks on the outer appearance, but God is looking at the heart. God is looking on the inside. Amen. What do you look like inside? No doubt many of us spent a lot of time this morning coming to church, getting ready, fixing our hair, amen, matching our clothes, maybe even bought some shoes, some new shoes, because I'm going to wear my shoes to church. I'm going to be looking good Sunday. My appearance is going to be looking one way. And I want to make sure that I look good on the outside. But how many of us, amen, worked on the inside? Well, truth of the matter is, God says, I don't look at people the way y'all look at people. I look at the heart of an individual. And I want to know if his heart is right. I don't care about how you look on the outside. Amen. You all are concerned about how tall somebody is. Because we find out that if you look in verse 7, God says to Samuel, look not on his countenance and on his height and his stature. Amen. Don't look at their head and their height. Amen. I don't want you to look at that. I want you... don't spend a whole lot of time. Yeah. God said, now you're getting it all mixed up, Samuel. I'm going to have to show you that it does not matter. My choice may not look like that they're the right ones. But I want you to know that although they may not look like it, God says, the first thing I evaluate is the inside of the individual. That's what God does. He looks inside. And because your heart's got to be right. God says, I want your heart to be right. But we oftentimes ignore people. We ignore God's choice because we're looking at the external and not on the internal. But if we're going to recognize a hero, then we're going to have to start looking on the inside and not being sidetracked by the outside. And the same was the case with Gideon. As you look at Gideon chapter, Judges chapter 6, verse 15, you find out that Gideon was called to go and deliver the Israelites from the Midianites. And we find him down in the wine press in Judges 6:15, and he's down in the wine press, and he says that I am the least of all of those in my family. I am the least. You have picked the least tribe, the tribe of Manasseh. All right. While we're not even a full tribe. We are not like Reuben and Simeon and Levi and Judah and Dan and Naphtali and Issachar and Zebulun. We are a half tribe. Our tribes is not one of the big tribes. And then not only that, I'm the least in my father's house. In other words, you already got a little tribe. Now you got the little of the little. I'm not qualified because you must be at the wrong house, angel, because I'm not qualified. I'm insignificant. Oh, there are so many people who think that they're insignificant here this morning because they don't belong to a certain family. They're insignificant because they don't have a big name. They're not kin to nobody big. They're insignificant. I don't qualify to be a hero simply because of the fact that I'm insignificant. Amen. And how many of y'all know that God took that person who thought he didn't qualify and gave Israel the victory over the Midianites? I mean, at first he had 32,000 soldiers, but when God got through, he only had 300 soldiers, and it was Gideon and 300 soldiers. And what happened was he defeated the Midianites. Beat them down. They got the victory. Through a man who tried to talk God out of using him, he disqualified himself. When God told him that he was qualified, he disqualified. He says, I'm unqualified. Amen. But it not only happened with David, and not only did it happen with Gideon, but it also happened with Joseph. We all know Joseph. The Bible tells us in Genesis 37:11 that Joseph, his brothers envied him. Another translation said they despised him. Amen. They were jealous of Joseph. They did not like Joseph. One of his brothers. How many of y'all know, amen, that it's important? You really want your family to be on your side, but I'm here to tell you that, amen, sometimes your family members will leave you out there by yourself. Amen. And what happened is his own flesh and blood threw him in the pit, and they wished he were dead. The Ishmaelites came by, and after they threw him in the pit and left Joseph there to die, they drew him out of the pit and sold him to some Egyptians, to an Egyptian caravan. And we all know what happened, don't we? Amen. They took Joseph, and Joseph ended up in prison simply because a woman lied on him. Amen. Amen. She lied on him. She played like he wanted. He wanted her, when the truth was she wanted him, and he didn't want her. But if you get a woman scorned, how many of you know they're lying on you? Amen, amen, amen. Not all women, but the truth of the matter is, amen, amen. She accused him of doing what she was trying to do to him. And what happened is he ended up in prison. But when you look at Genesis 38, you begin to find out that it didn't matter because the Lord was with Joseph. Amen. Every time something came against Joseph, the butler and the baker didn't remember him, didn't forget him, but the Lord was with him. And eventually he became the governor, and he became the hero that would save his family. Be careful who you put down. Be careful who you throw in the pit. Be careful who you mistreat, because they did not treat Joseph right. They mistreated Joseph. Their own flesh and blood, they mistreated Joseph, and they threw him in the pit. But the same person they mistreated, this lets me know that God does not like it when we mistreat people. Amen. Sometimes, have you ever felt mistreated? Amen. Have you ever felt like, you know, that everybody got treated right, but you, amen, they isolated you and they didn't have anything to do with you? Amen. And they didn't treat you right. They didn't treat you fairly. Amen. People that come to this church Sunday after Sunday, they may not remember a whole lot of things. They may not remember my little sermon. They may not remember Ariana's song. But they're going to remember how I treated at that church. How did they treat me? Amen. Got bad memories lingering in my mind. No doubt in your mind now about how folk treated you. I go to work here, but how do they treat me down here? How do they treat me? How am I treated? God is concerned about how you treat people. Amen. God is concerned about it. And I dare you to keep continuing to mistreat people, because God will take the same person you mistreating. Oh, I wish you would just keep up with that person you mistreating. Eventually, you're going to find out that God is going to be with that person. And the person that God uses usually are folk who are mistreated, folk who are ignored, folk who are insignificant, folk who have been isolated. God goes and get that child that was supposed to be the black sheep of the family. They told them they wasn't going nowhere. They told them they would never be anything. God will pick that very one. Because God does not like it when we mistreat people. When we have favorites in the family and we mistreat others, and we have certain family members that we believe going somewhere that can get anything, or sometimes we pick shades of color in our family. If one's a little bit lighter than the other one, then I wish I had a witness here. We got to go with the, God loves all children, red and yellow. But there are a lot of people who got scars on their hearts now because somebody mistreated them. Somebody had a degree and I didn't. Somebody was a little lighter. Somebody's hair was a little prettier. Somebody drove a better car. Somebody lived in a better place. And so we don't treat them fairly. They blood too, but we don't treat them the same. Oh, yeah, we got certain friends that we treat a certain. We got some folk we call our friends we treat better than other friends. But I want you to know this morning that God don't like it. God does not like it when we mistreat people. Make sure that you treat people fairly, equally. God doesn't like it. Can you imagine being mistreated, pushed aside, isolated, insignificant, and ignored? Amen. Amen. Well, the fact of the matter is, the world may treat you one way, but that don't mean God will go and get the very one. Amen. God does not like it when we mistreat people. The Bible tells the usher, he said, look, I want to say to your ushers, make sure that in James chapter 2, verse 1, he says, God does not like it if one comes in with a gold apparel and somebody else come in with some regular clothes on, and you're more respectful of the one who got the gold ring on, or who has on the best suit, the finer threads. You give more attention to the one who look like they're somebody. But if somebody come in that's homeless, then we don't treat them the same way. We tell them, you sit back here. But if you dress good, you sit up there. God says, God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. He said, treat everybody the same. Doesn't matter. He said, I don't like it. And he says that, You think you can love me and then hate people, but the truth of the matter is that you cannot love me and hate my children. All of us are God's children. We all made in the image of God. But he says some people say that, you know, I love God, but I don't like people. But he says, if you say you love me that you can't see, and you hate your brother who you see every day, In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, he said, if you say you love me, you're a liar. Because you cannot love me and hate my kids. How many of y'all know that God, all of us belong to God? You cannot love one race over another. You cannot love one person over another. We're all God's children. I don't want you to say that you talking about you love me. How many of y'all will let somebody love you and hate your kids? You see, the truth of the matter is that we all are God's children. And we've got to love them all. It doesn't matter what color they look like. It doesn't matter how much money they got. It doesn't matter whether they can sing like somebody else. It doesn't matter if they can preach like somebody else. It does not matter what they drive, where they stay, what they wear. It does not matter. God is concerned about us all. He loves us all. And God is saying to us here this morning that I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. And Joseph was a kind of a person who did not mind. And we look at these people and we find out that Joseph did not mind. He was not a revengeful person. Joseph didn't say, since y'all threw me in the pit, now that I'm the governor, I'm not giving y'all nothing. I hope y'all starve to death. How many of y'all would have told them that when they came up there to get something to eat? I hope y'all starve to death. The way y'all threw me in the pit and wouldn't play with me, I hope y'all starve to death. But it's something about Joseph. It's something about the folk God picked. There's a uniqueness about him. Joseph got thrown in the pit, lied on, mistreated, took out about 20 years of his life. And at the end of it, Joseph turned around and loved his enemies. Some folk treat folk right, they treat them right. But God said anybody can do it. The sinner can do that. I want to know if you can love folk that don't like you. Oh, be the bigger person. Joseph said, ye meant it for evil. You meant evil. But I'm bigger than that. I'm bigger than that. He fed all of his brothers. And he took care of them. Because it said something about Joseph. God picks people. But there's something unique about him. Joseph had character. He wouldn't do anything he wasn't supposed to be doing. You look at Joseph, and we ain't got time to talk about today. You study Joseph's life. He did not mistreat folk. Although they mistreated him, Joseph recognized that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Look at Gideon down in the wine press. He's not so prideful where if the angel came to him, he thought he deserved it. No, Gideon was humble. Amen. He was humble. And he didn't think he was so much that he deserved to be God's leader. I found out that God really picks folk that don't want to be picked. It's always those folk that want the position, those folk that want the mic, those folk that want to preach, those folk that want the deep, folk that want the, I want the office, folk that are power hungry. I found out that genuine Christians don't need no office. They don't care nothing about no office. Genuine Christians don't have to sing every song, preach every sermon. Genuine Christians don't have to have a title. They don't need no title. Keep your titles. Most of the genuine folk God called are not hungry for power. I could be wrong, but I found out that genuine folk are not power hungry. They're not mic hungry. They ain't got to teach every class. They ain't got to run everything. They ain't got to be over everything. They ain't got to be in charge of everything. They don't have to be all that stuff. They don't find their significance in titles because they got a testimony. And they serving a God that woke them up early this morning. And I don't really need... If the Lord needs somebody, I'll go, but I don't really have to be the one out front. I don't have to be the pastor. Let me get on out of here. I don't have to have the title. But I'll leave that alone. The truth is that we don't, he not only turned zeros to heroes, but he turned zeros to sheroes. When the angel came to Mary and said, "Hail thou, Mary, you've been highly favored. Blessed art thou among women." You're not above women, but you blessed. Amen. We don't mean to deitize you, Mary, but God does have a special job for you. Now, we're still going to worship Jesus, but you got an important position here, Mary. Hail Mary. Amen. You've been highly, now it's good enough to be favored. Somebody. But Mary, God wants to make you a shero. You dwelled up in Nazareth. And even your boy, they said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You way up in northern Galilee. Can anything really worth fooling with come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out?" But the truth of the matter is that Mary was chosen. Blessed art thou, Mary. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. You've been blessed and highly favored. God picked you, Mary. Now, if you study Mary, you'll find out that there was some unique things about these folk. Mary was a virgin. It didn't make her better than no other woman. But it did tell us something about her character. Mary, God picked somebody who apparently, like Joseph, had some character. And there were some things she would do and some things she would not do. When the angel met Mary, God had already selected Mary. I come to tell you today that God knows whose heart is for him. It was something inside of Mary that I don't know why God picked Mary, but he picked Mary. And we find out that God told Mary, Amen. "You are blessed above all women." Mary was an obedient young girl. I ain't trying to pick on nobody. Mary said, she said, "Look, be it unto me." I don't understand how you're going to do this, angel. And again, you had a woman that didn't want a job. She didn't have to be the one. But he said, "Be it unto me according to thy will." I'm going to go along with what God wants. If he wants me to bring the Messiah into the world, then I'll go ahead and do it. But I don't have to be the one. I'm just blessed to be chosen of God. All I can say today is that God looks on the inside. And when I think about Jesus, you know who I'm talking about. Mary's baby. Jesus, the one who said, "Father, forgive them." That's who I'm talking about. Jesus, who said, "If you put me in the ground, if you bury me, in 3 days I'll get up." Jesus, the one that gave his hand to the nails and his head to the crown of thorns. Jesus, who gave his side to the spear. Jesus, who let him nail him on an old rugged cross. Jesus, the one that let him spit on him and beat him. And Jesus, the one that didn't say a mumbling word. Jesus, the one that when he died, the sun stopped shining. Jesus, the one that made the earthquake. Jesus. Jesus said, "Take this body, and I guarantee you in 3 days I'll give you your tomb back. I don't need it long. Somebody said, I'm just going to borrow it for the weekend. Have I got a witness? He borrowed a donkey. He borrowed a tomb. Because he knew that he wasn't going to be here very long. And he said, some glad morning.